This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've reached another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
And this week it is Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Mardi Gras Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
You need surgery. Crazy ex-girlfriend.
Bisexual. Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We're here to bring the bisexuality into the queerness. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And we are joined tonight by a pretty special guest. James, please do the honours.
We are joined by, well, let's just say if you've heard about the queer agenda, well, the person who sort of sorts out all the finances and makes sure everything gets done is Sally Goldner. She's a bisexual and transgender advocate and activist and all-around amazing person, award winner. I'll stop. She's looking very embarrassed. Sally, thank you for coming to join us tonight.
Oh, it's a pleasure to bypass in.
Oh, this is going to be good.
We'll need to talk about the research link between bi and punning.
I just think it lends itself to so many, though. Like, bi just fits into everything,
right?
Which is what they say.
If you check out our Joy FM podcasts, you'll see lots of puns there in our titles.
That's right. Anthony's very proud. We have been getting our podcasts up, and you can check them out at joy.org.au/triple bypass. They're all there to be listened to. Also on iTunes, you can also message us right now on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Let us know what you thought of that song. You probably have heard it a few times if you've been listening to the show. That was Gettin' By featuring Pete Gardner by Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and it is officially our theme song now.
It is our theme song. So, Sally, it's really exciting for us to have you here in the studio with us. We're going to learn a little bit about the sorts of things you've been up to.
Yeah. So what have I been up to? Well, having lots of fun with the buys on bikes at Pride March, I suppose, where I went 10 days ago, which was, I think, absolutely fantastic.
So you were on your a motorbike?
Oh, no. I was the support crew on foot for the pedal-powered bicycles.
Yeah.
Okay. I always said I'd be support crew, and those people who walk across Australia, I'll be in the support car going, rah, rah. Well, yeah. I was on foot. I was probably just as fit as they were. Yeah.
Yeah, we bisexuals move ourselves.
That's right.
No motorbikes for us.
Yeah.
And so, the Joy group was just behind the on-foot group of the Pride Alliance. So was there a big show out? Well, how many bikes?
We only got about half a dozen bikes, but it was a good show though, because we covered them with big shiny ribbons and lots of colours and costumes and fairy wings and all sorts of stuff.
Well, that's right, bee wings, because we had to have bees buzzing in. Very nice. A few of us got going. We did buy fives to the crowd.
Nice. What's a buy five look like? We'll have to describe it, I suppose.
Radio being an audio medium. But look, it's very similar to a high five, but it's just done by bipeps. So it's a buy five.
Was that
high tech enough?
I've been doing them my whole life and I didn't even know.
Right.
There you go. See, it's just another example of buy erasure.
Yeah, right. You're a buy fiver. You don't even know it.
There you go. That's everyone, solid. You're buy fires too if you want to be.
So you were telling me about how you went to a conference and there was a proper bisexual conference before the big worldwide LGBTI conference, yes?
This is correct. So, yeah, I was fortunate last year, late November, early December, to go to Bangkok for the conference put on, the World Conference put on by ILGA, which now, although the like a lot of organisations, the acronym started out as something, but now they do say they are the International Lesbian, Gay, Bi, Trans, Intersex Association.
About time.
And for the first time, there was a bi. As happens at these world conferences, if people remember, say, the World AIDS Conference in Melbourne 2.5 years ago, there's these pre-conferences. And so for the first time, there was a bi pre-conference. 27 countries represented, 36 different people at that one, and I think it grew. Myself, as one Australian, but also Misty Farquhar, who's a... you've got to get Misty on the show. Fabulous person based in Perth, a bi and non-binary person. So we were both there. It was pretty awesome. And look, at some of the other pre-conferences I went to on other days, look, there was sadly some bi erasure, but we buzzed in and made sure we got rid of that. Yeah.
Sally, can I just ask, what's the purpose of a pre-conference? So bi people getting themselves organised to prepare for the main conference? Or what's
Oh, look, it's partially that, and also the fact that you've got all these people coming in from all over the planet, or a lot of it, means that you have a chance to network, whereas you wouldn't otherwise, and it saves having another sort of conference, sort of at another time and space. So, it gets people a chance to network, find out common ideas, and I think that was really important. One of the things that came out of it, or a few things, both for me, we'll say personally and professionally, if you like, I think that, we're probably pretty much aware now of the issues bi face, people erase, erasure, binary, sort of thinking, that sort of stuff. One of the things that was discussed was, well, how do we start putting across the positives of bi, which I think is a good thing for all of the rainbow to do that, rather than constantly coming from, yes, we've got to face the legal and social discrimination, for sure, but... let's start talking about how awesome we are.
That's what we're here for.
So, as we say, get on the fence, the view's better. Yeah. That's a humorous one, but let's start with that. let's ask our listeners.
Yeah.
We make the best puns, too.
We make the best puns. Now, well, actually, that could be debated as to whether that's a positive or not. But, seriously, maybe that's one for the listeners to call in.
Yeah,
what's the good things about being bi and bi, in terms of bi, by the way, we are not sort of limiting labels, multi-gender attraction and omnisexual, whatever
Absolutely.
Your label, if any at all, but just, if you're in that sort of ballpark.
Yes, please. Text in, let us know.
Let us know. So again, that you can message us on 0427JOY949, which is 0427569949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au, and you can also message us from the Joy app, which you can get at iTunes now.
Ooh.
So tech. But we are going to go to some breaks, and then we're going to be coming back with another song, which is going to be pretty great. Anyway, we'll be back right now. You're listening to Triple Bypass. This is Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Rob Nils, and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
That's right, and this is the B in LGBT. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm James, and the B's have a guest tea.
A BT.
A BT who has been the best pun cracker I have heard on the show so far. Now, we have gotten a few messages. Before we went to a break, we did ask people to share what they find really positive about being bisexual. And if you want to join in, you can message us on 0427JOY949, email us at onair@joy.org.au, or check us out with the Joy app, available on iTunes. So one message, Anthony, can you do the honors?
Yeah, we got a message from Jack in Brunswick. Thanks, Jack, for your message. And he says, great to have the bi perspective and overlay of transgender as well. He says, most people just have us all in a singular pigeonhole, and it's much more diverse this way. So thank you.
Agreed. Very agreed. And I think that's interesting that, that leads to something. I think that there is a huge awareness, particularly, I honestly still believe Melbourne is a really good rainbow city. And people are very aware of the intersectionality, as it's called, the spaghetti junction type of approach, that we're multifaceted people. And so, for me, for example, I'm equally proud and celebrate both my transgender identity and my bi/pan sexual orientation. And so, yeah, I think it's really good that we do recognise that in both the gender identity and bi, slash pandu binary busting, as I like to call it.
And you forgot to mention the very important third pillar of your personal identity and brand, which is, of course, wrestling.
Oh, that's right, yes, as a bi-pan WWE fan.
As a Hulkamaniac.
Wow. Yeah, Hulkamaniac.
You're a Hulkamaniac?
And also looking down to my one of the things I wear around my neck every day, which is a tag from The Rock. I bring it.
Wow.
Why people do. Behind. Dwayne Johnson, here's a treat for us all.
We're talking about the prayers, the training and the vitamins, right? The Hulkamaniac?
That's it, yes. Oh, you're good.
I was a Hulkamaniac once. So can I ask about the intersectionalities? Because I wonder if sometimes we live in our little sort of diverse rainbow bubbles and we're good at sort of bringing these things together and talking about them and also scrutinising privilege now rather than just focusing on disadvantage. And is this something that happens just in our spaces, or does it happen outside of on the other side of the rainbow as well? I don't know.
I mean, I'm a bisexual white man. You know, English speaking, Western born, you know, and I try to be very much aware of all the privilege that I have. And even people who lack a lot of privilege may still have some forms of privilege. So privilege is a weird thing. And I like that we're actually having the conversation, and it's a fairly mainstream conversation now.
Yeah. I've got to say to that, I was on a panel discussion on privilege. It's just coming up for a couple of years ago. And I thought, maybe I'll do this novel concept called research. And so I looked at the Wikipedia article on privilege, and there were some that I hadn't even thought of, like the fact that I've always had a roof over my head. That's a privilege, to always be housed. I'd forgotten that I'm educated, that sort of thing. You know, ones that were obvious, middle class. So I think it's good to be thinking about it and then going, what, you know, and what am I not thinking of? And then I started ranking all the parts of me that, you know, up high on the privilege list and then, you know, sadly go lower down. But I think it's good to be aware of it. I obviously can't talk for things outside of my identity. I think there's various forms of privilege here. I'm going to digress, but I think it is, well, in a way, because a lot of bi and trans people are on the autism spectrum, and we privilege various forms of neurological expectation, as the term I use. People who, you know, whose minds work in certain ways, so-called logic and rationality, are more privileged over others. And I'm not on the autism spectrum myself, but I am. And thank you for speaking up, because we need people to do that.
And there is some research. There has been some research that suggests that there is a higher proportion of people on the spectrum who are also identify as bisexual or some other sexuality outside the gay, straight binary.
Same with gender as well. I think they found correlations there. But I can only speak for my own. And even within having autism spectrum disorder, there is a huge, huge variation. It's a huge spectrum. So I do sometimes feel that, you know, as someone who is bisexual with a mild form of on the autism spectrum, there's a whole lot of spectrums in my life that I slide around, which is, I think, quite a fun way to experience the world.
Look, I agree. And, you know, whilst not on the autism spectrum, I have a psychological trait called the highly sensitive person trait, hsperson.com if you're on the web. And, you know, in a way that's similar, though, to autism, it's a different way of looking at things, a deeper sort of processing approach, and yet it's sometimes seen as mysterious or not understood in the same way as autism is. Whereas I think, you know, I had an informal discussion with some people on the spectrum last year, and they just made me realise autism's another way of looking at the world. And it's the same for me as an HSP. So let's value diversity, I think, is one good thing we can all do, and be aware of our privilege and how it might stop us achieving that.
And it's also important to remember that other people who lack some of the same privileges that we do. So, for example, other people who are queer or for example, they may also lack other privilege that we have, and therefore their experience lacking privilege that we have is actually harder. Which is what intersectionality is really about, is recognizing that everybody has different experiences of their own, you know, the problems in their lives or the things that are challenging in their lives. And sometimes when you stack one on top of another, they become, you know, they become a lot harder.
Yeah. I mean, there's degrees of privilege and disadvantage with all of us, I guess. And I guess it's the tapping into the parts of your identity or your place in the world where you perhaps do experience disadvantage or discrimination. I reckon that's the entry point for people to go in and sort of to perhaps respond more compassionately to others when sort of looking at disadvantage in other spaces.
Well, they do say that exposure to diversity actually does increase your ability to empathise. Mm. Because, again, when you're being surrounded by other people who are obviously different to you but the same, it does, you know, allow you to actually, you know, make that connection that everybody is experiencing things the same way.
Yes.
And I think that's actually been one of the benefits of being a millennial and having the internet, for example, is that a lot of young people are finding other young people who like all the same stuff they do from all corners of the world. And so, you know, they can all appreciate the same bad jokes or appreciate the same TV show. And like from all over the world. And they're just like, you know, when I was little, I think my biggest wake-up moment when I was about six, I'm not sure if you'll be able to remember then, but I was overseas and my dad was talking to, I think the man was Turkish, and I was trying to talk to his daughter because she was the same age as me, but she didn't understand me. And I just said to her dad, like, why doesn't she speak English? And he was like, well, why don't you speak Turkish? And I guess yes. It hadn't occurred to me that, of course, for her, Turkish was like English. And that was when they actually had the click of, oh, so this has actually been the only language she's ever heard, as opposed to, because I just kind of assumed everybody spoke English, just chose not to.
No, look, we can all live in bubbles to some extent, or vacuums, or silos, or whatever you want to call them. And I mean, we sometimes make jokes that they seem to have just about gone about, you know, sort of tourists from some countries who come to Australia and go, why aren't there kangaroos hopping down the street? But, you know, I think that in a global world, that is dissolving to some extent. But, you know, I think that, yeah, the internet's been a great thing for connection. I still think that, you know, in-person is just as important. I think we've got to find, you know, it's a big issue, find the right balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the in-person stuff, we have a space for that here in Melbourne, don't we? And you're both active members in that space?
Well, that's right. Bisexual Alliance Victoria, which is an alliance of advocacy and the discussion group. Which
full disclosure, I'm the vice president of the committee.
And I'm the treasurer. So, yes, two executing members, including the president of Vice.
And they did not just slide me over 220s, not even a chance.
fourth Tuesday of every month. Watch for those sneaky five Tuesday months. That's where it all goes amok. But the Great Northern is our usual space in the dining room there, as we call it, the Velvet Dog Dining Room, which is lots of fun. So get some good pub grub there and rock along about 7 for a 7:30 start. And discussion runs for a couple of hours with James in the proverbial chair if you're on deck. But, it's just really important that we have a safe space for bi people to explore things, talk about things, come out. I think one of the things I love about it is that it's such a safe space. At times, people have talked about personal stuff that isn't really bi-related, but they feel really safe to bring up stuff that they would feel really, 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 really a million times really vulnerable about.
I'm just going to jump in. We have got another message from Jade. Jade is our best listener. We love you, Jade.
We love you, Jade.
Hey, Jade.
And so Jade is replying to your question about what, you know, what is a positive thing about being bisexual. And so she says, Brenda Howard, who was a bisexual woman, organised the first pride, after which all prides followed, and is remembered as the mother of pride.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we're the children of pride, like literally the children of pride.
Yeah. Thank you, Jade, for that.
And look, totally right that we remember all our rainbow pioneers, but it's, you know, Brenda Howard so early on, and yet I remember fluctuating moods. I remember James and I had a conversation I totally honoured the 78ers at Mardi Gras, but we had a conversation with one where we were told vehemently by this person, oh, there were no bisexuals at the first Mardi Gras. And James, with the driest of humour, said, what, you interrogated everyone about their sexual orientation and behaviour? And so it's really important that we remember people like Brenda Howard for that sort of silliness.
And of course the Stonewall riot, that was one of the catalysts that led to the first Pride March was. Yeah.
I think we're
going to
save that one
around
until after this little break. But firstly, just before we go off, Sally, you have got a message that says someone wants to. Regards Albert. Albert wants to acknowledge all the hard work you've done over all the years. As James says, yes, you are amazing.
Oh, thanks, Albert.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Albert.
thanks, Albert. Please stay listening. We'll be right back after this little break and a song. You're listening to Triple Bypass, and this is Joy.
Hello, good thanks. This is Effie, and you're listening to Melbourne's most uplifting music mix on Joy 94.9. How ace is this?
So Ace. That was You Don't Own Me by Grace from Australia. This is Triple Bypass, your one-stop shop for all things bisexual on Joy. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm James.
And we're joined by?
Me, Sally Goldman. I'm multitasking here, and someone has retweeted a tweet about the show. I won't name them without their consent, just to be sure. But they've brought up a really good point. This person says, I'm asexual, and though asexual and gender identities are very different, what you said resonated a lot. And I really want to thank that person. As I say, won't name without their permission. If they retweet in the next few minutes, we will. But I think this raises a really good point that, you know, there is overall progress for the rainbow in Melbourne, obviously, with, you know, it's not a nice, smooth eight-lane freeway or anything, but we're getting there. But there's this inequity within the communities. And I think a lot of bi people are feeling a bit frustrated that maybe we haven't got some of the we're not as well resourced, and there's a lot going on. I mean, it's awesome that we've got, you know, a gender and sexuality commissioner, and we're looking at a pride centre, but there needs to be consultation evenly across the rainbow. And I think that's great that our, I'll just say the listener and tweeter has mentioned asexuality, because, you know, asexuals face, you know, sort of invisibility and erasure and misinterpretation, all that sort of stuff. AVEN is a great website, Asexual Visibility Education Network, is a great site for resources on that. And so, yeah, I think it raises a really good issue about how bi, trans, asexual are sort of standing together saying, you know, hey, we're after a fair go, mate.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we were talking about before with, you know, privilege and empathising. It's having that pathway and that lets you understand. So I think that bisexual people can understand what it is like to be made to feel invisible in a group you are supposed to be accepted in, which means that when another group, you know, says we feel invisible too, we're like, well, actually, that might be happening because it's happened to us. So why wouldn't it happen to somebody else?
Yes.
Well, of course, when that experience has never happened to you, of course, it's going to be difficult to imagine its existence.
Yeah. And I guess trying to understand it through your own lens, through your own sense of visibility of oppression, can be risky sometimes as well, because then you can make assumptions about what oppression should look like or does look like for the other person. So so listening to, you know, asexual people, for example, and believing them is a really great start also.
Also looking for your own information, I think. There's a lot of emotional labour is expected of people who have to explain that they're discriminated against. Like, you know, bisexual people, we often have to explain to our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters, no, this is actually hurtful when you do this, and let me thoughtfully and calmly explain how you've hurt me.
Yeah, we almost see it coming in the sentence when they're speaking, don't we? We have our answer already prepared, ready to go.
Don't do it. Oh, they did it.
Well, they've only got a few points. I mean, you know, you hear it over and over again. But you can imagine that that's why I think, originally, you know, when the queer movement became the LG or the GL movement, and then after a lot of argument, like, you know, a lot of protesting, the bisexual people were included, so it was LGB. And then, of course, there was the issue that was complete trans erasure. And I was quite happy to read that the bisexual community in general was actually quite much on the trans community side and saying, no, they definitely need to be included because we know how it felt when you shut us out.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly that it's about sort of standing together. But it is, you know, we've hit on a really important part of the debate that we're kind of, you know, in terms of the rainbow, you know, we've got, I think, overall society has a good understanding of lesbian and gay, and we're getting there on binary trans people, trans women even more so than trans men. As an educator, we go and say, okay, you know, we explain trans men and trans women, okay, trans men, name someone, and someone goes, oh, Sonny and Cher's kid, yeah, Chaz Bono, name someone else, and they get a bit stuck. But, you know, people are still doing head scratching on anything that isn't binary, bisexual, non-binary trans people. And whilst I'm not going to speak for intersex, I don't think that's right, but it's not, you know, it's not, of course, 50-50 or anything like that.
Nothing like that. And like, I do have a friend in the intersex community, and she's often stressing that there are so many varieties of being intersex, and how each intersex person chooses to identify is a very personal thing.
Absolutely.
And has, like, you know, and then has less to do with their particular chemical makeup or genetic makeup and more to do with how they experience the world.
Yeah. One thing I find fascinating is that I've spoken to a lot of people in the intersex community who actually would prefer not to be included under the LGBT umbrella because they feel that this is sort of a part of who they are and less to do with identity, which I don't fully understand the argument, but I'm I'm happy to listen to it and sympathise.
Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of visibility being in the community, and not everybody wants that.
Mm. True, too. So yeah, it's you know, so it's about getting, you know, breaking the binary to some extent, or not so much breaking it, just, you know, making sure it's not as inappropriately dominant as it can be.
Throwing a few rocks, maybe. And speaking of throwing rocks, we were talking before the break about Stonewall. Now, James, we were going to, before we were on air, we were having a bit of a chat, and Stonewall did come up. Now, what were you going to bring up about that before we went to that song?
Oh, there've been a few sort of urban legends about, you know, people saying, "I know who threw the first brick at Stonewall." There may be some listeners who don't know what Stonewall was. It was a riot at a bar that was generally frequented by gay men and transgender women in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And trans men as well. I think.
Oh, okay. Quite I didn't a few, actually know that. There you
and,
go.
And mostly the men there were Latin American. They actually weren't a lot of white people at the bar, which is why it was targeted the way it was.
Yeah, a lot of women, a lot of trans women of colour and other people of colour as well. And there's always been this sort of effort from some parts of the community to try to say, you know, who is the hero? Who was the person who threw the first brick? You know, because it was raided by the police. It was all very brutal and very unfair. And it triggered a really major pushback, and it was part of the catalyst that led to the first Pride, and really was one of the foundational moments of the modern queer identity and the whole push for acceptance. Because a lot of people who previously hadn't really cared saw these images of police brutality, mm-hmm. and really became allies when they saw it, you know, even though they'd never really even thought about it before. But there's a great quote that I've read here, which was from a couple of years ago when people were having a bit of a growl about the Stonewall movie, which was famously whitewashed and ciswashed, if that's such a word.
Basically, the director decided to make up a character as opposed to focusing on the actual historical, like rainbow pioneers who were there. He decided to make a white cis male gay character, and I believe he probably did it to give the audience a window, but it meant it was straddling that awful thing of being too straight for the queers, yes. and not nearly like inclusive enough for people, and so it just didn't suit anybody. No one liked it.
The funny thing was that he just honestly didn't get it when people challenged him. He was hurt and confused, and he was told, "Well, I wanted it to be accessible, you know, because I'm a white gay man, and I wanted people like me to be able to go to the film and enjoy it and be interested in the story. So I invented a white gay man," and it's like, "You're really not getting this, Roland."
I mean, that's an example of trying to understand oppression through your own lens and not listening to you.
Well, I think the idea of not being able to empathise with anything but a white male protagonist, we've seen the kind of consequences of that in Hollywood, where you just kind of see the constant churning of it. And then something like The Hunger Games comes along and suddenly everyone's, you know, empathising with a young female character, and it's just like, oh, look, that was complete BS what you were saying just then.
Yeah, but there's an American academic and queer historian called Susan Stryker, who said a great thing when she was asked, "Do we know who threw the brick?" She said, "We know nothing conclusively." And it's, I'm slightly paraphrasing here, "It's wrong-headed to be overly concerned with pinning one clear-cut act on one identifiable person in a misguided attempt to say that somebody started Stonewall. It was a diverse street crowd that started the resistance at Stonewall and not one person." And that's such an important thing to remember, because we're strong when we work together and we're strong when we're diverse.
Touché.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Speaking of, we're going to just go to a quick song and another few ads, and then we'll be right back. We've got a message to read, but I'm going to save that one for later. Everyone, you're listening to Triple Bypass, and you're on Joy.
We're Tegan and Sarah, and Australia's only LGBTI radio station needs your support. Sign up as a member now. Head to joy.org.au.
That was the incredible Lady Gaga with Born This Way. You're listening to Triple Bypass, the bisexuality show for Joy. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And I'm Sally, who's guesting.
Yes.
Thank you. See, Sally just jumps onto it. She gets it. She gets it. I love it.
Switched on.
Speaking of, Tegan and Sarah asked for members, and we have received one. So a donation from Jessica in Dandenong. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. And we also got another message, which I thought would be a good way to start the next conversation. Could you please address the idea that bisexuality champions the gender binary? Thanks.
are? So it's a fair question. And I suppose if you're a Latin purist and by meaning two, then, you know, you might say, well, yeah. But the thing is, language is flexible, malleable, mouldable. So one of the things that was really important to me when Bisexual Alliance's predecessor, Bi Victoria, emerged in about 2000-2001 was they checked in with trans and intersex people saying, look, how do we make sure we're inclusive? And that's where the definition emerged of bi being attracted to more than one gender. So, yeah, I know we can go on about language and, you know, everyone's probably picked up a mouse to use their computer at times, but it doesn't squeak and have a tail and have ears, so unless it's got a decoration on it. But, yeah, the thing is, I get what the listener's saying, but I think that you know, I think it's about language and that sort of thing. So I don't really think it does myself, but, you know, I see where that point comes from.
Well, when it was coined, it was sort of a third of our major sort of labels that was coined. And it was coined in a sort of a scientific way. And what it was really coined to mean was, you know, at that point, they recognized the existence of homosexuality and heterosexuality, and bisexuality literally meant, you know, attracted to the, you know, because hetero means different and homo means same, and it means both attracted to those who are like you and those who are not like you, which I personally don't feel supports a binary, but some people do interpret that way. So it's complicated.
To use that famous phrase, yes.
I personally, with my own experience of bisexuality, I think bisexuality is one of the most binary breaking things that is around. Because gender, while it's still, you know, the gender of the person you're attracted to is definitely a part of the attraction you can feel to them for different, you're attracted to different genders in different ways and not necessarily at the same time or in the same way. But, you know, it does definitely show that gender is only a very small part of attraction, which I think does kind of entirely call into question this idea of the gender binary, and also the fact that, you know, I think when the terms homo and hetero and bisexual were formed, there were only two identified genders. Mm-hmm. Like, I know things have changed, but that was when the terminology came about. Like, that's what it was formed around, the fact that there were two genders. And so that was all made information of that. And as our understanding of gender has changed, it makes sense that we are, like, you know, and also if a bisexual and, you know, as a, we've all talked about this before, I'm a bisexual person and I've felt attraction for more than two genders. So, and a lot of people I've spoken to who identify as bisexual are the same. So our experience and what we are as bisexual people is, you know, is not constrained by what people tend to try and say we have to be.
It is difficult when you're facilitating a discussion and somebody says, I identify as pansexual because bisexuals are only attracted to cis people and I'm attracted to trans people. And it's difficult to sort of go, well, I don't think all bisexual people feel that way. For example,
but words and language is very important, and I guess individuals attach all sorts of meanings to that. And there's a process to get to those words and those labels as well for individuals. So I guess that's important too. And it's great that we do have other words and language that we can use as we evolve forward and progress and learn about each other.
And it's great, and I'm glad that people are finding labels that are being embraced by the wider community that they do feel comfortable with. And if people don't feel comfortable with that particular term, then all power to you to find and find a community that also gathers around that term that you identify with is really important as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Look, it does raise a really good point that for anything in these areas, the term that you use is an individual thing. We can do broad brushstroke type of definitions, but, you know, everyone has a right to their own label in all of this. So, if bi makes you happy in whatever meaning you want to put on it, I mean, we haven't, you know, it's, dare I say with tongue-in-cheek, it's our individual freedom to use what definition we want, or label, or none at all.
Yeah, and I like to find really sort of abstract and strange terms just to fuck with straight people's minds.
True, just like, you just kind of string them along, like, you know, when Americans come here and think there should be kangaroos on the street, and you just see how far you can take it. Like, oh, no, you know, when we're kids, they take our stuff to school, but you can't take them to work anymore. They actually change the laws. Yeah. And, you know, people, you know, you'd just be surprised. Now,
Uber bought them out. But just one other part on the labels thing. I just remember Janet Hardy, the fabulous author of many books in our rainbowish and sex-positive worlds, labels need to be descriptive, not prescriptive. I love that.
That's really, yeah, I like that. So I think labels we choose for ourselves are great, but I can see, labels other people choose to put on you, not so much. Now, we are having to finish up the show, and Sally, it has been so great to have you, but I'd love to hear, we asked the question to the listeners before, and I'd love to hear, what is one of your favourite things about being bisexual?
One of my favourite things? I just like the people for who they are. I make sure that overwhelmingly I will get to the bi discussion group, as it's called. I'm comfortable about my sexual orientation, but it's just that they're good people. There's a sense of emotional intelligence, and I suppose that leads to the thing that if for bi, and I think a lot of trans and gender diverse people too, if we're sort of, you know, society loves to limit us in terms of anything to do with gender, and yet us being, you know, all 7 billion of us, but we're saying, hang on a second, we don't have to be, that we can access our masculine, feminine, any combination thereof of what I call our intangible gender expression. And, of course, so long as we use that for good and not evil purposes, that's the main thing, that we're not really constrained by the limitations. And this is what I call an irk warning coming up, that society says, oh, men can't cry and women have to be passive, blah, irk, whatever. What a load of rubbish. And, of course, that's binary thinking anyway. So that's what I like about bi-pan people and trans and gender diverse. We have the power.
Yes, we need to be responsible with our bi-powers.
That's right. Yes.
Use it for good.
Good.
Yes. And I see myself more of as chaotic, neutral kind of alignment.
Don't go to the dark side.
What could drive a person to neutrality?
What's your favourite thing, Jay?
What I really love is that, I mean, like Sally said, it opens doors in really interesting ways. It opens up new possibilities and new ways of looking at the world, new ways of looking at people. Because I've found that back when I identified as straight, I had a fairly simple view of what made me attracted to certain people. And when I started to really come to terms with my bisexuality, I really started to think about it and it actually made me better at relationships, because I thought more like, why am I attracted to this person? Am I attracted to them because of good, healthy reasons, or is it something less healthy? Mm. And I think it just made me smarter about who I spent my time with.
Also, you get better at, like, you know, I think the fact that bisexual people exist and don't go off and, you know, continue to rape people does kind of lay complete waste the argument that you cannot have a platonic like relationship with somebody that you could be sexually attracted to.
Yeah.
Because we would have no friends. Like, no friends. Right. Which, you know, is obviously not the situation. All of you guys have friends. Mm-hmm. And I have the studio.
I love your microphone.
Well, speaking of, we are going to be signing off, guys. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And thank you so much for joining us, Sally.
Yeah, thanks, Sally.
Oh, look, pleasure. And, it's just, I think that we're just, the other thing I've got to say is the more discussion we can get out there about bi issues and still trans and gender diverse, particularly the non-binary part, I think it's all going to end up, and it's great that there is so much media. We've got Joy, there's Rainbow Radio up in Bendigo who do good stuff. There's Juz, which is a podcast. There's lots of stuff talking about it, and I think that it just gives that more chance for someone who's isolated connect. So
absolutely.
Yay for triple bypass and everything that goes on.
Thanks. And will you come back?
Oh, I think if you can twist my arm again, we can manage that.
Anthony, get on that. But we'll be back. We'll be back next week on Valentine's Day. Well, I will be, Christina will be, James will be. Anthony's busy because he might actually be doing something for Valentine's Day. But we'll be back. We'll have a very special show for all of you who are listening in. This is Triple Bypass.
You've reached another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
And this week it is Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Mardi Gras Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.